Los Angeles, broadcasting with 50,000 watts of power on a clear channel frequency of 640 kilocycles.
AFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
It is, and I've got Mel Waters here. We're getting the continuing saga, or at least closure to this point, of the Mel's whole stories. That's plural. We'll get back to Mel in a moment.
Henry David Thoreau's Walden, brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
Day one, what a beautiful pond. I shall live here in a cabin and establish an intimate relationship with nature. Day two, filled with joy. Day three, joy. Day four, joyful. Geico saves me money and guarantees my claim repair. Day five, more joy, etc.
We can guarantee claim repairs for as long as you own your car. And you could save 15% on car insurance. Call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
Once again, Mel Waters. Mel, Marilyn in Tulsa, Oklahoma asks, was there any sign of radioactivity? An obvious question.
I don't think these guys are capable of doing, you know, determining if that. None of the people have been around the hole in your state or the hole in Washington or this other site where the stove had gone into the ground had experienced any sickness or anything that I guess would, you know,
be indicative of radio.
Anything that made him like truly sick.
Have you been back to our Nevada hole?
No, I have not. And the reason why is that I feel at this point I am, people can follow me around. I don't want to lead anyone there at this point. You know?
Have you detected people following you?
Well, I'll tell you, some of the people that I was trying to find have found me. I mean, and I have not left a trail of breadcrumbs out there. But so
yeah, you're not an easy guy to find.
I'm not an easy guy to find. In fact, that is also my message to Charlotte, and that is that I'm not around because people badger me all the time, even though I don't have a nickel in my pocket.
Actually, I would be aware of those you refer to. Let's not talk any more about it.
Okay. That's
listen,
it.
Listen. The hole in Nevada.
Right.
Eventually, Mel, we've got to give scientists or
yes.
somebody access to one of these things.
I have a feeling...
Before the bulldozers come in with the suits and the military uniforms.
This has been my discussion with the Basque over there, is that at this point here, it's time to basically come clean on all of this stuff here, let someone
exactly.
from a university
exactly.
out there. They don't want... they're just there, you know. I mean, I can't see them profiting by it or anything. It's on public land. I mean, it doesn't belong to them.
A lot of people, of course, probably haven't heard this whole story. And I'll tell you now, Mel, we're going to take this segment and we're going to repeat Mel's hole two on Christmas. And so we're going to take the segment we're in right now, play it back then. So, Merry Christmas.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Art, and that is, boy, I sure got a lot of heat about the sheep and that...
Yeah, you want to briefly tell that again very quickly.
Well,
it is a central core.
This is good. Maybe I can lead into some more of this because there has been some more contact with...
Good.
That. Okay, what we did is some of the Basque were really like crazy, and some of them wanted to be actually lowered into the hole, and that's after we brought that burning ice up to the ground.
Yeah.
And I said that, hey, you don't want to do this. You don't want to send a human being down there. So they decided to lower sheep.
Yeah.
And they winched a sheep. Well, I don't want to get into the grisly details, but the sheep goes into the hole.
Right.
Goes down 1,000 feet. Bring the sheep up. Sheep is dead. Cut into the sheep. They find this huge tumor-looking sort of thing inside of it. These guys are used to eviscerating sheep, and they know this doesn't belong in there. They cut it open. And there's this thing that it's alive inside. It looks like a baby seal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you see at the aquarium, you know, a pinniped, a baby seal. That's what it looks like. But the eyes are so odd. We all described it the same thing. It looked like it had eyes of a human being. You know, you look at a seal, picture of a seal, and it's got these black eyes.
Right.
This thing had, like, human-looking eyes.
Oh, man.
Okay, and we had experiences with it. I won't go into the whole thing, but what has happened here is that I have been told that the Basque have seen the same creature again and again, and they've had many experiences with I'm going to call it the seal creature. Now, you had a guy on your show, I'm told, is Red Elk or Red something.
Red Elk, yes.
And he talked about these things. They're called rock flyers. And that's what he described them as. But he described these seals. He's like a Native Indian kind of, Native American sort of guy.
Yes.
And he described these things as being rock flyers.
Well, that's an interesting name for them, rock flyers.
And he said these creatures that live down in the earth, but... What I'm getting is the sense that they not only live in the earth, but they inhabit like different earths, and they are able to move between them.
It's also possible, Mel. It's crossed my mind that very, very deep within the earth, there might even be a different set of laws of physics that might begin to.
That would
a reality that you would live with, and maybe that's why you're getting such weird things up out of these holes.
Well, if I'm pulling up ice that keeps burning, and it's not cold, and I mean something
sounds like a different kind of physics
going on here. If we've got this metal collar that you cannot see from a certain distance, it no longer registers on the mind, or in the eye, or in the retina.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange. I'll tell you something. Remember, I told you I was given. A replacement to the 1943 Roosevelt dime.
Yes, I recall.
After I was told about this thing here, and I tried to take pictures of it, believe me. Actually, I can't do any of that stuff. My nephew does. But this is what I discovered after I told that they couldn't see the flange from a certain distance.
Mm-hmm.
If I stand 15 feet away from the dime, I can no longer see it. I can see the holder. I've got it in a plastic, like, Lucite holder. I can see the holder, and I can see straight through it. Then I walk towards it, and all of a sudden, the dime inside the holder materializes. That's what it's like. So I assume that if it wasn't able to photograph, or not able to scan it, believe me, my nephew, he did everything he could to produce an image of this dime.
Right.
He could not do it. I'm holding it right in my hand as we speak. I still have it.
But you can't take a photograph of it.
I can't even, when it's 15 feet away.
What about the hole in Nevada? What about the hole in Washington?
Well, now, I've not been to the site of the hole, and I could assure you at this point that the hole in Washington it's probably been re-landscaped over there. So anything...
But the hole in Nevada...
is still right. There as it was when I was there. It's out there in plain view.
Well, we need some photographs. We really need some photographs.
Well, I'm going to communicate with the Basque out there and say, look, why don't we just have people come out there, find out where it is. From my standpoint, the stuff sounds dangerous. And you know, I was telling you about how they hauled away this wood stove that had a bucket of ice in it and how heavy it became. It was
right.
So, are you familiar with any of the works by Kurt Vonnegut?
Of course.
Okay, he wrote a book called Cat's Cradle. And in that book, Cat's Cradle, there was a substance in there, fictional substance, called Ice-9. And Ice-9 was developed for the military, fictional, so that the people, the biggest scourge to the military is mud. So they developed this substance that could pour in the mud, and it would solidify the mud.
Huh.
And the problem with it, though, is that it would keep on solidifying all of the water out there as far as it could reach, and eventually it would destroy the planet if it continued to solidify. It absorbs all of the water. Well, scientists have actually speculated.
Is it something biological? I mean, I can't imagine.
I don't know.
Because it's hard to imagine what else could continue to proliferate instead of, unless it was some sort of biological agent. I know they have biological agents that clean up oil spills.
Yeah.
You know, they created creatures that eat oil.
That's I haven't thought of that. I'd never thought of this as a living thing. I always thought of it as a physical, chemical phenomenon.
Well, living things would be the one category that could continue to proliferate.
Anyway, this Ice-9 in fiction does that. It can literally attach itself to all the water and render it impossible to deal with. I mean, it would be no longer water. You can imagine a world without water.
Yeah, of course.
Well, scientists have speculated. You can go on the Internet and search for, like, Ice-9.
Yes.
And there are scientists that actually believe that something like Ice-9 can exist. They actually believe that it is possible to accomplish something like the fictional Ice-9.
Well, that's why I kept saying, what about a different set of laws of physics inside the Earth? Obviously, something about the deep Earth, Mel, is very different than what we have here.
The whole new set of laws down there that go on. But this ice has been, this burning ice has been a great, huge source of concern for all the people that I talked to, you know, and then I'm not a military, whatever they were, down there that went to the.
So you have no idea who has it now?
No, they took it away, and that was the report that I've got. And, excuse me. Anyway, wanted to get back to the actual hole over there in your state. I told you about the helicopters that routinely fly over there, and apparently no one has been molested over there that is encamped around the hole. But the Basque that are there have told me that they receive visits from the seal-like creature.
Recalling for everybody, the creature went back down the hole.
I actually put him on the flange.
Right.
And he just dived in to the hole.
Like a seal into the water.
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely like that. What I have been told is that the Basque have found a way of communicating with the seal, because it comes up regularly now. It's like a regular visitor. And what they did, and I don't know how they decided to do this, but the seal speaks to them through one of their boom boxes. So here you got the seal that's sitting there on the flange.
Mel, do you realize how crazy? this sounds.
I was crazy sounding from the first day.
you have a point, Mel. But I mean, the seal or whatever in God's name this is
can communicate to them
through a boombox,
through the radio on the boombox. That is, I don't know how it does it. I don't have any idea of how radio works. Okay.
Well,
I mean, you know,
you're
the radio guy.
It receives radio frequency.
That's
so
right.
The implication would be this creature is capable of.
Of
radiating some sort of modulated radio frequency, and that's how it would happen.
I always heard these tales of like people hearing like radio and their tooth filling.
Oh no, it's true.
And wire fences
really
out
true.
On the range.
It's all true.
You know, and so I don't know, but anyway, they have been communicating with them, and one of them was actually smart enough to press the record button on the boombox.
Good move.
Yeah. He did. But this is what happened when he played it back.
Yes.
It sounded like I've listened to the shortwave radio before.
Yes.
But it sounded like that intermodulation that you get between, like, it's a series of chirps and bloops and bleeps and things like that.
Oh, yes.
That's what was recorded.
Oh, isn't that
bloops
interesting?
Bloops and bleeps and stuff. That's all that was on a tape. I used to like those bloops and bleeps because they used to help me sleep. You know, I would turn it in between, like, a shortwave channel.
Do you have that recording?
I don't have it handy, but...
have it.
Yeah, but it sounds exactly like that... The bloops and bleeps you get between some of the shortwave radio stations.
Wow.
Exactly. I have no idea, but that's, they were hearing this, you know, speaking to them in the language they understood, and so they talk about it. And again, I wasn't there, okay? But I don't think these guys, the Basque, are pulling my leg. They're not that kind of guy. They might be crazy enough to want to go into a hole.
Well, crazy as it may sound, it's not really crazy based on your own first-hand experience with the holes now, is it?
No. It isn't.
If you take one context as a reality, then you can. It seems to me it shouldn't be that hard for you to accept their word on what's happened here.
Right. And so, in that sense, but I'm also describing this to many, many, probably millions of people, I assume.
Probably, yes.
And what I was told is that, that these creatures inhabit the Earth and they inhabit the other spaces linked and not linked together. And they're communicating through the radio to them is what's occurring. And they do receive visitations from the seal creature from time to time.
Well, I already like these little guys. If they use radio, they're my...
Are they your kind of people there?
Gotcha.
Okay, now the Basque were warned about the ice that we sent down.
What kind of warning?
They said from the seal creatures that the ice can and would destroy the world in a very little amount of time. This stuff is too dangerous to fool around with. You don't have any way...
It's not supposed to be up here.
...of understanding how this works, even though it is so tempting that all of a sudden, in a bucket of ice, I've got what seems to be a unimaginable source of power. You know, an inexhaustible source of power, apparently. But I can't imagine if it's being inexhaustible if it's getting heavier and it's absorbing water. I mean, that to me doesn't sound like, you know, so I think that stuff that was down there really is truly dangerous if not contained properly, is my feeling on that there. And that's the warnings that they were giving. They said that the world would be destroyed by the improper use of the ice, but they anticipate that greedy and undisciplined use of the ice will probably occur in this world.
Greedy and undisciplined?
Disciplined use of the ice.
It's an interesting phrase.
Yeah. In fact, that's what was quoted to me, that term, greedy and undisciplined.
Well, you know, the world is looking, you know, for new power sources. Anything that burns, Mel, and changes its own weight in that manner has a great deal of power.
This kind of reminds me of something. You know, we're a fossil fuel-based economy, right? And we've been using oil for the last 150 years, you know, crude oil, petroleum.
Long time.
Before that, the oil that we used was whale oil. And some of the most famous whalers in the world were the Basque.
That's true. Okay.
Now, I told you some time ago that there was a whale bone and it's stuck in a tree in Ellensburg.
You know, I remember that.
And I've been told by the Basque that they left that there, that they were Basque in the area of the Washington Hole, and they left that whale bone there kind of as a marker. That's all I want to say about that, but that's what I've been told.
Do you think that somehow those beneath ground understood something about what we needed? Or what they thought we needed?
Well, I'll tell you this much, because there were other things that were said that, and this might explain some things to you, but, you know, we talked about the greedy and undisciplined use of the ice, and they said that these seal creatures, they can travel between these worlds. and that there are other people in other worlds that have designs on this world, because this world is in pretty good shape. There are some people out there in other worlds that are similar to ours, but their world is so horrible.
Well, our world is at least above ground.
Yeah, but their world is so horrible that if we had suffered a nuclear holocaust on this world, they would be happy to inhabit it. There are people there, and what they were told is there are other worlds similar to ours that have designs on this world, and that they monitor what happens on this world, and they
okay,
are making...
Listen to me now. We're almost out of time,
okay.
Mel. Anything critical to get out?
Just that they are looking at our conditions, and they are saying, hey, the world that is the Earth that we know is on a collision course to disaster, and a lot of them think this is good, that then when we're gone, they can come here, and they think they're smart enough to use the ice that's here. That's the word I'm getting, okay? I'm not a prophet. I'm not anything. I'm just
reporting.
Was
the implication in that the ice was rare even to them?
The ice is rare, but it is when it's discovered, it's almost always improperly used. That no one has had the smartness. Now, these seal creatures...
Implication being there's been other pieces of this above ground.
In other similar situations there that have been used, and maybe it's been that some of this has surfaced in one of these holes, and you were saying maybe that's how these holes are formed?
Yeah.
Any number of those things.
All right, listen to me, my friend. We've got to go.
That's fine.
I want you to tell me, swear to me that you'll get hold of some people at the University of Washington.
I will.
Or wherever, and proceed with this, will you?
Talk to the Basque. I think they're thinking along my way. They have no real vested interest.
All right, I'm going to look for that to happen, Mel. You take care, my friend.
Thank you very much, Art Phelps.
Good night, Mel Waters.
Bye.
Well, that was quite an update, wasn't it? Yeah, I know. But maybe it could be true. We'll be back.
KFI.
AM 640.